Let's turn to the Bible. We want to read from Luke chapter 23. Luke 23. The passage is printed at the front of the bulletin. Luke 23 verses 33 to 47. Luke 23, we begin a reading from verse 33. Here the Bible records for us the final hours of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. And when they will come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, "He saved others, let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God." And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, "If thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself." And a superscription also was written over him in the letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, "This is the king of the Jews." And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, "If thou be Christ, save thyself and us." But the other answering rebuked him, saying, "Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing amiss." And he said unto Jesus, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And Jesus said unto him, "Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." And it was about the sixth hour that, and there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. Now when the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God, saying, "Certainly, this was a righteous man." Amen. I feel that this morning darkness has come upon me. I hope I can see my notes. I think the light blue, several of them. Now the message for Good Friday this morning is finding God at the cross. Finding God at the cross. We want to take this passage as we think about this topic, finding God at the cross. As we go through some of the important things here in this passage, I want you to notice the characters surrounding the cross. There was, of course, Jesus Christ hanging on the cross, brutally beaten, now cruelly hanging on the cross. And then beside our Lord Jesus Christ, there were two criminals. The Bible here says malefactors. They are criminals. And then beneath the cross, I want you to notice the soldiers and the centurion. These were people beneath the cross of Jesus Christ while the Lord was suffering pain and anguish hanging on the cross. I want you to notice these characters as we think about finding God at the cross. Now I want to mention three important things as we think about this topic. First of all, I want to mention something surprising, unexpected, because the cross is not the place we expect to find God. That is the first important thing I want to speak about. The cross is not the place we expect to find God. Secondly, the cross is the place where God saves sinners. Thirdly, if you want to find God, this morning you must come to the cross. So the first important thing, the cross. The cross is not the place that you want to go if you want to look for God. Where do you want to go to find God? Most people visit a temple or go to a religious building or institution. Some people would travel far away just to make religious pilgrimages, to go to holy sites in order that they can find God and be inspired in their spiritual life. And then there are others who make connections with unseen cosmic forces and power in order to make a spiritual connection with God. Some people go for meditation classes so that they can put away all their stress and anxieties and distractions and quietly think about the inner life. Perhaps by looking at my inner life, I can find God within me. Where would you go this morning if you want to find God? Everyone who professes any form of religion understands that there is a big difference between God and man. There's a big difference. And any one of us who say that I am religious knows this difference. Man is a common creature. Man belongs to the natural world. Man has a secular vocation and calling and work. Man is earthy. He belongs to the dust and the earth of this ground. But God is different. God is uncommon. God is supernatural. God surpasses human abilities. He is perfect and pure in His character. And God is to be feared. Even in other religions other than Christianity, when they enter into an atmosphere of worship, they sense a difference between God and common man. God is to be worshipped. God has a moral character that is much better and perfect than man. For this reason, because of this difference, when people want to find God, they expect to go into a place that is holy in character, religious in its settings, spiritual in its ambience. So where everybody can be quiet, and we can look at the high priest as he performs the religious rituals, so that we can sense something about the loftiness and the majesty and the exalted position of God. God is not man. Man is common. God is holy. There's a big difference between the two. So people would go to very religious places. But this morning the Bible tells us that God is found in the most unlikely place. The passage that we have just read in verse 33 said that they took Jesus to a place called the Skull, Calvary. And then they put Jesus on the cross. The cross is the place that we must go if we want to find God. Now the cross, of course, is the most unlikely place to look for God. There's nothing lofty about the cross. Just two pieces of wood, erected, standing firm, in position. Nothing that is very sanctified about that two pieces of wood. Nothing beautiful to look at. No incense. No religious furnishings. No high priest. No worshippers. But God was there at the cross. Now what is the cross? We need to understand something about the cross as we think about Good Friday, as we think about God at the cross. What is the cross? Look at verse 33, and it tells you something about what the cross is. The Bible in verse 33 says, "And when they will come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left." First of all, the cross is the place where they crucified criminals. Malefactors means criminals. This is the most cruel place to be. These criminals that are put on the cross are not just ordinary robbers or thieves, or perhaps people who had just offended some slight law and regulations of the country. These are criminals of the worst degree. The cross is the worst place to execute a criminal, because they would take that person and stretch his body and nail him to the cross, and there the person would be left hanging to die a bloody death. It is a place of crucifixion. They would suspend the person in that position for hours, and it will be a very agonizing place to die, hanging on the wooden piece of cross. No support, but your body there hanging loose, your lungs collapsing, blood bleeding, flowing. A very cruel place to be. A place where they put criminals, people who are despised, rejected. This is what the cross is. Secondly, it is a place of shame and mockery. Of course, the Romans invented the cross as a place to execute the worst criminals. But the cross has a certain important significance in the life of the religious Jews. In the Old Testament, they would hang someone suspended on a tree. When the person is put to death for the worst of offense, and the person hanging there on the tree is suspended, rejected by the world, rejected by heaven. It is a place of shame and mockery. And you look at the Bible passage here this morning, there is mockery and shame in this Bible passage. Look at verse 35. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, "He saved others, let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God." These are soldiers beneath the cross, looking at the anguish of the Lord Jesus Christ hanging there. If he is the Christ, let him save himself, let him come down. They mock him. This man on the cross is totally helpless. He is there bleeding and dying. And these soldiers had no mercy. They had no compassion to this man on the cross. Instead, they mock at him. They added shame to his anguish. And then look at verse 39. One of the malefactors which was hanged railed on him, saying, "If thou be Christ, save thyself and us." And now, this criminal, on the sight of the Lord Jesus Christ, turned to him and then mocked and railed the Lord Jesus Christ. "If you truly are the Christ, then come, save yourself and save us as well. We need to be saved, we need to be rescued from this deplorable position and agony. If you truly are what you say you are, come and save us." Of course, he was not serious about it. It was not that he was serious about seeking salvation in Christ. But you understand, this is mockery. This man is shaming the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. Now what is striking, of course, is that this criminal is also dying. He is hopeless. In a short moment of time, his life will be gone. But he still mocks the Savior on the cross. And of course, it is a place of suffering. Look at verse 41. Verse 40 and 41, "But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss." A place of condemnation. A place to be punished. And that was where the Lord Jesus Christ went. And they put him on the cross. But this morning, we want to say that although the cross is a place of suffering and shame and mockery, a place where criminals are condemned to die, a place of punishment and anguish, we want to say God was at the cross. And to find God, you must come to the cross. Why? The reason is very simple, and this is the gospel, the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the cross is the place where God saves sinners. It is the place where God comes to bring salvation to sinners. Now, in this very open-minded society, where people no longer think clearly about morality and what is virtues and values, we need to explain who are sinners. Who are they? What kind of people are they when we talk about sinners? Now, the religious leaders in Jesus' days have a court where they met very often to discuss issues concerning law and crime. And in the courts, the religious leaders would condemn certain people as sinners. Those who have offended the religious laws and regulations are condemned as sinners. Those who broke the religious rules set out by the Pharisees and the scribes in Jesus' days, these were condemned as sinners. And so when the religious court condemns these people as sinners, they will despise. And they are to be avoided. And the religious court would tell people to shun these people and keep a distance away from them because they are condemned as sinners. They have no right to enter into a place of worship. They are to be considered as people who are to be despised. But then at the cross, God welcomed sinners. God takes sinners and give them a new life, and give them a new hope, and give them a new change in their lives. Sinners, who are they? What kind of people are they? Sinners are not criminals. And I want to be clear about that. Sinners are not criminals. In fact, they are worse than criminals. There were two criminals hung with the Lord Jesus Christ. The passage tells us that there were three crosses. Christ in the middle, two criminals, malefactors, crucified beside the Lord Jesus Christ. Both, I must say, must have committed vile offenses. If they have committed just some very ordinary crimes and offenses, they would have been punished in some other ways. But now these two criminals were crucified. They must have committed some very vile offenses. Maybe they have repeated their crimes so many times, so that the law of the country says these people are beyond hope. The only way to deal with these criminals is to put them to death, so that they no longer terrorize society. Put them to death. Put them on the cross. And then put an end to their lives. Maybe they are repeated offenders. Or perhaps they were murderers. So that the way to punish them is to put them to death. Life for life. Death for death. Two criminals on the cross. Now this morning, it is very easy for any one of us to point a finger at these two men and say, "Ah, these two men are criminals, they are sinners." It's very easy for us to do that. Because we always have self-pride. This is not just a Singaporean problem. This is quite a universal problem. We all have self-pride. We like to say good things about ourselves. Those are criminals, those are sinners. But I'm not a sinner. But I also want to take you to the soldiers beneath the cross. Because the soldiers beneath the cross, they really stand in the same position as the two criminals. Although these are law enforcers, they are people who uphold the law of the country, but they are sinners in God's sight. Why? Because they mock Jesus Christ. Verse 35. They derided him. And the rulers also with them derided him, saying, "He saved others, let him save himself, if he be the Christ, the chosen of God." They are law enforcers, people who are law abiding, who uphold the standards of the country. Although they are not criminals punished for death, but they are sinners. Why? Because they rejected God, refused the Savior that God has given to mankind. Now we are ready to answer the question, what is a sinner? A sinner is not a criminal. A sinner is one who has rejected God in his life. One who has no God, one who has no Christ, one who has no hope, no grace. And this is what the cross shows us. Here in this passage, the cross shows us the ugly sight of fallen humanity. It shows us that mankind is ugly and dirty and filthy and sinful. That is because mankind has rejected a good God. Mankind has rejected a good Savior. And that is why mankind is in sin. But yet at the same time, although the cross gives us such an ugly sight and picture of mankind, the cross also has a very powerful picture of salvation. A wonderful picture of salvation. I want you to look at that character at that cross in verse 40. But the other criminal answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. And then notice verse 42. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. These are words that tell us this criminal has turned to the Lord Jesus Christ. He was not a soldier, he was a criminal. But turning to Christ on the cross, he said, remember me when you come in your kingdom. He turns to Christ and he believes some very important things about Christ. He says, remember me when you come. Striking words. You must not take these words lightly, because he knows that he is going to die. And as he turns to Christ, he also knows that Christ would soon die. But then he says, when you come. These are wonderful words of faith. Words of faith, beautiful. Because he looks at Christ and he knows that this Christ is going to live. And that he would come again to bring his kingdom. And when he said these words, he's also saying that I want to belong to this kingdom. Here, this criminal is not like what we do today in business, giving a name card to introduce himself to Christ. I want to be your acquaintance. And perhaps if you have something wonderful, contact me. He's not saying anything like this. These are very sure, certain words of faith. When you come to establish your eternal kingdom, I want to be part of that everlasting kingdom of God. I want to belong to God and His kingdom. And here is a criminal in his dying hours. Very soon he will be breathless and punished and condemned. But it is in this moment that he finds God at the cross when he turns to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, he must have heard something from the Lord Jesus Christ in order to say words like this to him. Now, I don't suppose that this man previously was interested in Christ. Christ preached for 3.5 years. He was busy preaching and teaching and healing the sick. Many came to crowd around him in order to see what he does and what he preaches. And I don't suppose that this man was with many of those crowd. He was a criminal, repeated offender, maybe one who was extremely cruel, had no interest in religious life. He was only interested in stealing and killing and perhaps in other kinds of vile crimes. I don't suppose he was with the many crowds that went to Christ. What words could he have heard? Perhaps he heard something said by others. But what words made him turn to Christ? On the cross, Jesus said some words. He said some 7 statements. But perhaps those words that we find in verse 34 are the words that truly move him. Verse 34, this is Jesus on the cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Can you say that when you are tortured, when you are beaten, when your enemies are against you in the most cruel form? This is Jesus on the cross. Father, forgive them. I believe these are the words that made this criminal turn to Christ. Forgiveness. How those words are a healing power in his life. He stood there condemned, punished, rejected by society. He realized that he was a criminal, wasted his life, did nothing good, a wasted life that he lived. But when he heard the word forgive, it was as if God unleashed spiritual healing into his life. I found a forgiving God at the cross that opened his eyes, opened his life, and he said, remember me when you come in your kingdom. I want to be there because I want to be a new person. Do you want to find God? Ask yourself, do you want forgiveness? To be honest, we all need it. We are not perfect. We may not be a very vile offender or criminal, but certainly we have offended others. Certainly we are troubled by many things in life. And surely, if you are not a believer in God, you are without God. And God says, those who are rejecting me without me still is a sinner that needs salvation. Where do you want to look for God? Where do you want to go? Let me keep this simple as possible. You don't have to go anywhere else. Just look at this piece again on the cross. He was then nailed to this piece of wood. Where could he go? He could not go to the temple. No one could take him down, bring him to a religious place. Certainly he cannot go on a long spiritual pilgrimage. He could not move. He already was bleeding. He stood there, helpless, totally helpless. In a few moments, he would die. Where can he go to find God? If we have to be at the temple to find God and salvation, this criminal will be totally lost. But we believe that God is everywhere present. God is here this morning. And God certainly was at the cross saving sinners. And because God was at the cross, this man could find salvation. He could find a new power of a new life in his life, forgiveness, grace and hope and peace and rest. If God was not at the cross, this man would be totally lost. But he found God. If you want to find God, you must come to the cross. Because at the cross, God gave a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ died on the cross, not because he offended the law or he was a criminal. Jesus had to die because his death took the place of sinners. God put on him the sins of mankind. And that was why Jesus went to the cross. When God put the sins of mankind on the Lord Jesus Christ, he did not become a sinner. He still remained sinless. But he became guilty. Guilty of the sins that you and I have committed. For that reason, he had to be put to death. And then, another wonderful thing happened. God also put the righteousness of Christ on sinners. So that at the cross there is a wonderful transaction. There is an exchange. And it is with this exchange that we all can have a new life. God took our sins and put it on Christ. And God took the righteousness of Christ and put it on us. And if we want to find God, then we need to have these two things. We need to have forgiveness of sins, our sins to be put away. We need to have Christ's righteousness put on us so that we can enter into the presence of God to know Him, to find Him, to seek Him, to worship Him. So that God become our friend, our Savior. And that is why if you want to come to God, you must first of all come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because Christ takes our sins away. And He gives us a new life. Are you looking for God? You must first look for Christ. And the place to find Christ is at this ugly place called Calvary. Bloody, yes. We don't exaggerate the blood. Because we want to see ourselves there and the life that God gives. Turn to God, turn to Christ. Confess your sins. That means you say to God, God, I'm a sinner because I have rejected you in my life. Secondly, acknowledge that you need Christ to come into your life to take away your sins. And then to give you a change. And then you must believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and nobody else. You don't believe in any other gods. You don't turn to any religious merits. You turn alone to the Lord Jesus Christ. Rely on Him. Trust in Him. Believe in Him. And this is the message of the cross this morning. The message is that we must find God by first coming to Christ. Wonderfully, this thief found it. And I pray that you do too. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you that it is at the cross that we can find you. We can turn to you. And we thank you for the gift of your Son Jesus Christ. We pray that you may help us to turn to Him and give up our sins and to seek forgiveness and to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ with a true faith, believing in Him that He is my Savior to bring me to you. Father, we all need Christ and we pray that you may help those who are searching to know Christ as a personal Savior. We pray this in His name. Amen.